Well, we're going to hear from one more young person today. Jaden Lumpkins is going to come and read our scripture passage for this morning. It's found, by the way, in Joshua chapter 24, and it's verses 14 and 15. And I forgot to get the page number if you're using the Blue Pew Bible. Can somebody yell it out? Jaden, come on up if you would, dear. What's the page number in the Blue Pew Bible? What is it? 231. Okay, I think we'd probably need to use the microphone right there, Jade. Oh, you have one. Okay, well, come on up here then, if you would. 231 in the Blue Pew Bible. Jaden, thank you for reading God's word for us today.
Okay, Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Jaden. Let's just have a prayer. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to worship together all the different generations of our church family. And we thank you, Lord, that we can indeed learn from one another. And Father, we pray that as we spend just some moments now around your word and thinking about how it applies to our lives, we pray for the guidance and the leading of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mother Teresa was known for her commitment to the poor, the homeless, the oppressed. And on one of her many travels, she spoke at the National Presbyterian Church in Washington, D.C. And a woman heard Mother Teresa speak at that meeting. She was very impressed. And she asked her afterwards, "What can I do to help?" And she got a response back from Mother Teresa that she did not expect. Mother Teresa simply turned to her quietly and said, "Love your family. Love your family." Here was this great Christian woman, totally invested in ministry to the poor all over the world. But when asked what someone could do to help her, she simply said, "Love your family." Well, Mother Teresa knew what the Bible teaches. Our faith must start with those who are closest to us in this life. Well, today, as you've seen, we're experiencing a worship service with a unique focus. We call it Cross Generations because all the generations of our church family, except the very youngest, are worshiping God together today. And we're acknowledging, we're celebrating the fact that the Christian faith applies to men, women, boys, and girls of every age and gets passed down from one generation to another. And it got me thinking about the importance of the family itself in helping us to begin and keep a strong faith in Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. Now, Jaden's already read our scripture today, but let me explain what's happening in that scene in Joshua chapter 24. The Israelites, the Old Testament people of God, had taken control of the land of Canaan. God had given them this land as a gift, and Joshua was their leader, but he was now a very old man. He knew that he would die soon. And Joshua chapter 24 is his farewell speech to the Israelites. And today I want us to focus on just those two verses, 14 and 15 of chapter 24, Joshua, because it's there that he is challenging the people to keep God forever at the center of everything that they do. Obey him, love him, serve him. And in the midst of that challenge, we hear some strong words of personal conviction. "As for me and my family," Joshua says, "we will serve the Lord." And I hear at least three truths about faith and what it means to have a relationship with God in those words that I want to share with you this morning. Joshua's simple statement there applies to all of us here today, regardless of our age. Here's the first truth that I want to leave with you today. Real faith is always personal. Personal. I want you to picture that scene with me in Joshua 24. Joshua stood there and he looked out across this great gathering of people. He already knew that many of his fellow Israelites would be strongly tempted to worship other gods. You know, sometimes it's easier to worship something that you can see and touch, like an idol made out of stone or wood, than the one true God who is invisible. And Joshua told the people they must make a choice. Their faith had to be something personal, or else they too would end up worshiping idols like their neighbors. And that's one reason that he said, "As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." It's as if Joshua said, "Look, I already know that not everyone here today is going to worship and serve the Lord. And if you choose not to do so, you'll have to answer for yourself. But I want you to know where I stand today. I have chosen my God. I know He is the one true God. And everyone else may turn away and worship other gods, but not me. I will only ever serve the one and the true God." It's a wonderful statement all by itself, isn't it? "As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." What makes it even more wonderful is the fact that Joshua was a husband, a father, a grandfather, and probably a great-grandfather as well at this point in time. And if you're a parent, you're a grandparent, you're a great-grandparent, you're an aunt, you're an uncle, your faith in, your allegiance to Jesus has got to be personal if it's going to have any impact on your children or on the other members of your extended family. And that might seem obvious to you today, but it's not so obvious to everybody. You know, over the years, I've heard some interesting things that coming from parents. I've heard things like, "Yeah, Rick, you know, it's important to have my kids go to church because it's there that they can learn between good and bad behavior." Well, that may be true, but that misses the point. Real faith is always more than just learning how to be a nice, good person. The Bible makes it clear that real faith begins with a personal relationship with and surrender to the one true God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Sure, treating other people well and having high morals are inevitable results of knowing God personally, but they never create a relationship with God. There's many very nice, very moral people who live next door to us, who work in the next office, or people that we go to school with, but they don't know Jesus personally. They don't love Jesus personally. Some parents seem to believe that the Christian faith is something that, well, you learn about as a kid, but it's probably okay if you outgrow it as an adult. You know, it's nice to kind of expose kids to the stories about Noah's Ark and David and Goliath and Danny in the lion's den. It's good to have them learn something about who Jesus was and what Jesus did. All very positive, all very wonderful stuff. But then when you get older, it's just really not expected that you keep on pursuing a personal relationship with Jesus diligently. And so what happens is that being a Christian is reduced to just to believing certain truths which have little or no impact on your actual everyday life. And it certainly isn't thought of as being as a vital and as a personal relationship with another person, God Himself. A real faith, spiritual authenticity, is anything but a sort of joyless, heavy on the rules experience. I don't know about you, but when I read scripture, when I've seen examples of it, folks, a godly example should be the most joyful, the most positive, the most peaceful, the most fun, the most encouraging place to live anywhere in the world. And there ought to be a kind of a spiritual atmosphere in a godly home that allows even doubts about God to be shared, fears about life to be expressed honestly, At the end of the day, a godly home is just a place where God is included in everything. Because real faith is about relating to God as naturally as you and I are breathing oxygen at this moment. That's all it is. And what children need to see above all else is spiritual authenticity. Mom and dad, grandparents, aunts and uncles, every adult that's here today, that means that we need to have our own personal relationship with God. And that relationship needs to be real and growing and vital to us if it's going to have any impact on the younger generations. Yes, modeling good behavior is important. Bringing kids to church regularly is important. Praying together before meals is important. But above all and in all, kids need to see that God is real to you and to me. They need to see that Jesus is at the center of our lives and everything in our lives revolves around him. We live in a day and an age that has really, if you think about it, it really has as many idols as the people living around the Israelites when Joshua was speaking. They're just different gods. They're not idols of wood and stone and metal. Instead, people today worship things like money, wealth, success, social media, celebrity, possessions, achieving your potential. And it can be easy to start kind of giving a lip service to God while we actually worship and serve the idols that our culture says that we should. So mom and dad, grandparents, every adult here today, who do you really worship? It's a important question to answer honestly. Is your faith real? Is the one true God really at the center of your life? Are you truly following Jesus? Kids figure it out. When they hear our words and they observe our choices and they witness our decisions, what do they learn about who or what we truly worship and serve? Real faith is never just tacked on to your life. It is life. As for me, said Joshua, I will serve the Lord. Real faith is always and forever something personal. Something else about real faith. Real faith includes my family. Real faith includes my family. What did Joshua say again? As for me, tell me, and my family, we will serve the Lord. Joshua had the audacity to speak for his wife, his children, his grandchildren. Maybe even his great-grandchildren. All of them, said Joshua, are going to love and worship and serve the Lord just like me. Not only was Joshua's faith in God intensely personal, but it was big enough to involve and include his entire family. You know what I've seen over the years? Many Christian parents underestimate their ability to influence and impact their kids spiritually. Now, it's true, it is absolutely true, that no one can make the decision for you to become Jesus's follower. Even the most prayerful, impactful parent that you might imagine. It is absolutely true that every person must choose Jesus for himself or herself. Not one of us here today will be able to walk through the gates of heaven by saying, well, mom and dad got me baptized. Or, well, my parents took me to church a lot. Francis Chan has been a mega church pastor and is still a well-known author and a speaker. And even he discovered that he couldn't make his own daughter fall in love with Jesus. He talks about a time when she was a teenager and it was just evident that she had no use for Jesus. And he spent nights crying and bawling and praying to the Lord. Here he was known for his ability to communicate spiritually, but there was nothing that he could do for his own daughter that would make her fall in love with Jesus. He could still guide her, he could still lead her, but he was powerless to convict her. So he just simply prayed. He said, God, either your spirit comes into her or your spirit doesn't. It doesn't matter how great a dad I am. I cannot bring her to life. And one day she came into Francis's room and she said, you were right, Dad. The Holy Spirit was not in me, but now he is. And she talked about how near she felt to God and how everything had changed. Well, frankly, Francis and his wife were a little bit skeptical. They wanted to see some evidence of change. And some 18 months later, both could see spiritual transformation starting to happen in their daughter. They didn't do it. It was the Holy Spirit. So no, you can't make your kids follow Jesus. But the Bible assumes something that you and I need to remember. Parents and grandparents and family members are in the best position to evangelize and disciple your own kids and grandchildren and nephews and nieces and whoever. No pastor, no youth director, no church school teacher is better equipped to lead your children or grandchildren into a saving knowledge of Jesus than you are. Someone has rightly observed, Christianity is only one generation away from extinction. It's all we need, just one generation. And here Joshua dared to assume that when it comes to spiritual things, he could speak for his entire extended family. I love that. Talk about big faith. His faith was big enough to include his entire family. They, along with him, will serve the Lord. Joshua assumed he had a kind of a holy authority from God to lead his family into faithful worship of and service to God. Joshua was a parent, a grandparent, a great-grandparent who wasn't afraid to spiritually lead his own extended family. You know, here's what I found. You can be so careful not to scare your family members away from God that you can fail to point them to God. Some Christian parents insist that their kids, get this, some Christian parents insist that their kids get up every morning and go to school, and they brook no dissent from them whatsoever. Can you imagine? And rightly so. But those same children are given the option of going to church. They're given the option of participating in church school. They're given the option of being involved in youth activities. What is that about? Really? I guess an education isn't optional, but a relationship with God is optional. That's not forcing personal faith on your kids. Why can't Christian parents say, look, kids, we cannot force you to put your faith and trust in Jesus. You can only ever do that for yourselves. But as your parents, we have decided this will be a Christian home. We will serve God in this family. We will try to conform our lives to His will and His standards. We understand that an important part of all of that is to worship God and study His Word with other followers of Jesus consistently. So as long as you live under our roof, this is where we're going to be on Sunday morning. What's wrong with that? And sure, our kids are going to challenge that resolve. That's what they do, right? So you do what you need to do, parents. You don't have to get belligerent and angry about it. Just firmly and lovingly insist on what you know is right and best for your children in the long run. Even if they don't like it then and there, they'll get over it. They'll survive. You will not damage them. What they may never get over, what they may never recover from, is parents and grandparents who failed to point them to Jesus. Something else stands out to me about Joshua's statement. As a man, he accepted the responsibility of spiritual leadership for his family, and he didn't dump it all on Mrs. Joshua. Too often in our culture, the wife and the mother is the spiritual leader rather than the husband and the father. Sadly, too many men delegate spiritual leadership to the women. Thank God for godly mothers and godly grandmothers who refuse to drop the ball. But men, we can do better. We should do better. And Joshua is an example of a man who set the pace, who took the lead, who was not reluctant to say, "Come on, family, we're going to pursue God and do life His way." And there's something wonderful when you see the lordship of Jesus displayed in the men of a family. And Joshua was just such a man. "As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." Of course, spiritual leadership isn't always easy. We sin, we fail, we fall short. Family members learn quickly that we're not perfect. But the solution is never found in giving up. So let's admit our shortcomings. Let's ask for forgiveness. Let's learn to rely on the Holy Spirit in deeper ways, insisting that our faith is big enough to involve our entire family. It does take perseverance and effort, but folks, the payoff is tremendous. A third truth, and then we're done. Real faith is practical. What did Joshua say? "As for me and my family," say it with me, "we'll serve the Lord." Yeah. Serve the Lord. Our relationship with God is more than just believing the right things about Him. God has brought us into this new and eternal relationship with Him so we can discover the great joy of serving Him. Notice that serving the Lord, making our faith practical and real, is a conscious decision. Joshua said, "We will serve the Lord." Do you hear the intention there? No one has ever served God accidentally. You don't just start serving God by mistake. Serving the Lord only happens, whether you're an adult, a teenager, or a child, when you decide that you're going to serve the Lord. We live in a culture that is saturated by the idea that everything and everyone pretty much exists to meet my needs. Even God. Many people kind of think that God exists to forgive my sins, to meet my needs, to get me out of trouble, to provide heaven for me when I die. But the Bible makes it clear that we were created to live for and to serve God. And serving the Lord can be done in the most down-to-earth, practical, everyday ways. You don't have to be up here preaching. You don't have to be up here singing. It can be in the most practical, everyday ways. Showing compassion to someone at school or someone at work who nobody seems to like for some reason. Taking a meal to a sick neighbor. Letting someone know that you're praying for him or her and then really doing it. Inviting someone to come to church with you, telling someone that Jesus loves him or her, and then what Jesus did for them. Being involved in a ministry opportunity here at church or in the community. So many different ways to serve God. Again, mom and dad, what do your kids see? Do they see you so blatantly absorbed in it, in your job? Or in your own recreational activities, or even so devoted to their teams and their extracurricular activities that you have no time to read the Bible for yourself. You have no prayer life. You can't serve in a ministry in the church. Well, kids learn that serving God is just an empty phrase that makes you feel good, or a way of relating to God that is down to earth and practical. Serving God means that it's not complicated, folks. It just means that we give a portion of our time and our talent and our financial treasure to build God's kingdom. That's all it is. Mom and Dad, what do your kids see? What do they see? Do they see you using your abilities, the ones the Holy Spirit has given you, and you somehow put them into use so that people get pointed to Jesus? Do they see you meeting the needs of other people in practical ways? Do you pray together for people who are hurting or struggling? Have you ever shared with them a spiritual conversation that you had with someone who was not a follower of Jesus? Do they see you involved in something, anything here at our church or out in the community for which you say, you know, kids, the bottom line is I do this because I love Jesus. I do this because I love Jesus. Do they know that you tithe their income to the Lord's work? What are we teaching our kids about what it means to serve God? Are they learning that it's just so much religious jargon, Christianese, churchese, or do they experience serving God as a very practical, everyday demonstration that He is the center and the focus of our lives? As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. I read about an interesting experiment this week that I guess was conducted some time ago. But someone got a little, one of those little wooden corks, you know, that you find in the top of a bottle. And they hung it from a thread. And then right next to it, they got a heavy steel bar attached to a metal chain. And so the cork and the metal bar were side by side. And they hooked up the bottle cork to something mechanical that made it swing back and forth. And so what would happen is it just would start hitting that steel bar over and over and over again. It just kind of bounce off. And for a very long time, absolutely nothing happened. Nothing happened. And then after a long time, there was just the slightest movement in that steel bar. It just kind of trembled a little bit. And then that cork just kept hitting that steel bar. And pretty soon that little tremble turned into a shudder. It stopped, and then it would shudder again. And then the more that little cork that weighed all of, didn't even weigh an ounce. As it kept hitting that steel bar began to move. And pretty soon that steel bar was going back and forth. It matched the rhythm of that little cork, so much so that after a while they were just able to remove the cork and that steel bar just went back and forth steadily and rhythmically like a pendulum. That little cork, that little wooden cork, is like your faith and mine impacting people in our families who don't yet know Jesus. And I know, folks, I know sometimes you get discouraged. You don't feel like you're making any impact. And it's just like you're hitting a steel bar. But I want to encourage you today that you have the Holy Spirit within you. Don't give up. Don't stop. Just keep living for Jesus each and every day. Keep making the most of every opportunity to live for Him, to speak to those that you love about Him. Our real faith is personal, as for me. Our real faith includes my family, as for me and my family. And our real faith is practical. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Would you say that with me as a prayer to God? Just lift it up to the Lord as a demonstration of your faith, that that's what you want for yourself and that's what you want for your family. Would you say that with me? As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Say it again. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. One more time. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Father God, we thank you today for people like Joshua who could just stand up and say, this is where I am. And you can do what you want to do in life, but I know who I worship and I know how I'm going to live. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to worship together across the generations and to remember that this faith is passed on from one generation to the next. Lord, may we who are adults in our midst today, may we be zealous to pass on the faith to those who are younger than us. And Lord, for those who are in their teenage years and who are elementary age kids in our midst today, Lord, may they take that faith. May it be real to them. May they begin to live into it even now at a young age, so that when they're our age, they can pass on that faith to the generations below them. We thank you and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.